And now we have Meredith and Melissa here with the Garden Conversation. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So we are going to talk about the salt and soil marketplace today. Meredith is going to be talking about that. But first, as I was driving into the Chilcat Center, I saw a robin fly by with a slug in her mouth, heading home to feed her babies. So go robins.
Yeah, slugs for breakfast. Love it.
Yeah, yeah. Glad to see somebody making good use of slugs. Anyway, Meredith has been very active with getting this salt and soil marketplace together through the Food Hub with Tokshinnik Watershed Council. And you want to describe it just very briefly for us?
Yeah, so it's kind of how we're kind of describing it is an online farmer's market. And so anything that is sold at the farmer's market could also be sold through the salt and soil marketplace. And it's just an online venue for vendors to sell their goods and for consumers to purchase those goods.
Okay. So if I have too much rhubarb right now, what do I do with that?
Yeah, so the steps are to go on to saltandsoilmarketplace.com and create a vendor profile. And on there you can talk about all of the different gardening practices. Maybe if it's just a one-time rhubarb sale, maybe you just want to kind of just say, I have too much rhubarb and leave it at that. But if you are planning on selling through it throughout the entire season, you can talk about the different gardening practices or your whatever it is that you're doing or growing that is special. And then you can also list those items, the quantity, the price. So the vendor names all of those things. How much it's sold, what the, you know, if it's a bunch, if it's a pound, however that quantity ends up.
Okay, so by putting on the grower's profile, then so whether they're using commercial, non-organic methods or using organic methods or transitional or whatever, then that would be identified.
Yeah, yep. Okay. They're able to identify all of that. And and then there's a weekly ordering cycle that we're doing. So you'll put up what you have available for that week, hopefully early on in the week, and then consumers will have until, I believe it's Friday, to purchase. Friday morning, I think, is when they have to be the purchasing ends. And then all of the folks that were selling that week get what we call a pick ticket. And so they know exactly how much rhubarb you've sold that week. You know exactly how much you have to go and harvest. And then on Saturday mornings at the farmer's market, a little bit before the farmer's market. So between 9 and 10 is the drop-off time at the farmer's market out at the fairgrounds. And so that's when everyone drops off all of their goods. And so we'll drop it off. We get it kind of checked off and organized by customer. And then from 10 to 11, the customers come and pick up their goods. And it's already all packaged up for them, and they can just pick it up and go.
Huh. Very cool.
That's interesting. And so the salt and soil program, they are taking a cut out of this, I assume, to keep the program running.
Yep, for sure. So there is a 25% markup.
Okay.
So the producer names their price, and then the marketplace adds 25%, and that's what the consumer sees.
Interesting. Okay. Now, is that just food products, or are there other things?
We're saying anything that could be sold at a farmer's market, so that can also include some cottage food things.
Jams or jellies.
Jellies, yep.
Okay.
You know, if they're like soaps and things like that, we're also, you know, we're encouraging folks to sell that through there. We just want to make sure that it's the same rules that kind of apply at the farmer's market, where it's locally made and kind of... Yeah.
They don't undercut the prices and all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So any kind of a food product that's been basically value added.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Those are more than welcome to be sold as well.
And this is called salt and soil. So what's the salt part of it?
So the salt piece is we also want to sell seafood through this. And so that'll be a little bit different just with the regulations involved in seafood. And so the pickup location for that will likely be at the docks. unless we kind of arrange something else. But right now, that's kind of how that will likely end up playing out.
Mm-hmm.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to get some local shrimp, for instance,
mm-hmm.
they can go on as a consumer.
Yep.
And request that, and
yeah.
then maybe get in line for when shrimp is available? Or
yeah, so it'll kind of be a pre-selling for shrimp or for salmon, things like that. And so it'd be basically, it would probably, how we're envisioning it rolling out anyways, is that the consumers will purchase it, and then the fishing will happen. And so the fishermen will know exactly how much is sold before they go out, or at least while they are out there, they'll know how much is already sold.
Now, are these commercial fishermen or subsistence or what?
That's a good point. Yeah, it has to be commercial. Subsistence
okay.
food can't be sold.
Okay.
So it has to all be commercial. Then we have to also follow all of the regulations with that. There's different permits that fishermen are required to have, and
mm-hmm.
Yeah, if anyone is interested in the fish side of it, definitely I encourage you to contact me. We can walk through the permitting requirements and things mm-hmm. and get everyone squared away. It's not that hard, but there are some of those things that we just have to make sure are in line before.
Okay.
Before.
Okay.
And your website, that's on Facebook, or
is
it?
Folks can get a hold of me directly at the Watershed Council office. That's
okay.
766-3542. Or also on if you go to saltandsoilmarketplace.com, there's
okay.
a spot to contact folks on there as well. So
okay.
All
right.
Very good.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's
and
great.
This has been in the planning for a while.
For a while, yeah. it's kind of now it's like that really exciting time where it's like we're about ready to roll it out in like a week or two. So,
and this will be the first year.
This is the first year, yeah. So I'm sure there'll be some kinks that we'll have to work
mm-hmm.
out. But
mm-hmm.
but so far we've had a lot of really great feedback from folks that are really excited to sell through this. And so mm-hmm. that's encouraging. And I think there's an unlimited amount of folks that I think want to buy more local food. Maybe
right.
not unlimited, but it's a... There's a lot of folks out there, and so I think that
mm-hmm.
yeah, hopefully this will create more and increase that local foods economy for Haines and get more local food out there.
Yeah,
that's a great idea. How do you see this affecting the farmers market at all?
I really hope that it helps bolster the farmers market, and that's one of the reasons that we chose the farmers market as the pickup time and the drop-off location. So if folks still want to sell at the farmers market, that kind of would fit really well with their schedule. They drop
mm-hmm.
off their salt and soil goods, and then they go set up their farmer's market table and sell at the farmer's market. And then also for the customers, you can, you go to the farmer's market to pick up your box of goods that have already been purchased, but maybe while you're there, you notice that, oh, I didn't buy this week. I want to go buy some of that from whoever's at the farmer's market selling
okay.
it. So...
So if there's things that you really know that you want, and that's why you go
mm-hmm.
to the farmer's market. I love the white turnips that Sally grows, for instance. Those are amazing for salads and whatnot. So you could go through the Salt and Sea marketplace and get an order confirmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
So you would know that it's there. You don't have to...
Uh-huh.
try to rush down first thing
at
to get it.
10:01 to
yep.
get things.
Yeah. Yeah. I should also point out that so the main pickup time is that 10 to 11 at the farmers market. But then for folks that, maybe just can't make it in on a Saturday, we are having an alternate pickup time from 3 to 5 on Monday at the Tokashinnik Watershed Council office. And so I know that there's some folks who maybe live out the highway who don't come into town on the weekends. They just want to stay home. And
mm-hmm.
so this will allow them to still participate in the market and pick up their goods just a couple of days later.
Right.
Okay. And where's the Tokashinnik Watershed Council office?
Yeah. So we are now out at the end of Sawmill Road, the former Klukwan Inc. office, Jones Point area.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
All right. That is really exciting. I hope it goes well for you. And
yeah, we're yeah. excited. I think now it's kind of like, well, let's just roll it out and do it now.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all your work in getting that organized. I know it was like herding cats to get growers together to get that all. I went to a couple of the organizing meetings, and my hat's off to you. That took a lot to get that together. And then on the other side of things, Toksinek is also bringing young people along into gardening through the Starvin' Marvin and Marvin's Garden at the school.
Yeah.
What happens with that now during the summer? And
So we've kind of grown into a pretty robust summer education program through the garden. So we have Garden Club, which will take place on Tuesdays from 10:30. I think it's 10:30 to noon. And the ages are for 3 and up, but parents can come for the younger children.
Please.
Please come with younger children. But, so that'll be Tuesdays throughout the summer. And then we also have 2 high school interns that are helping work in the garden and maintain that throughout the summer. And,
oh, great.
We're really excited to have more folks out there all summer long and participating in the garden and helping out. And then for some of the older community folks out there, we I think it's Tuesday, June 6th. I believe that's a Tuesday. We will be having going to be planting a bunch of new fruit trees out there.
Okay. And what kind of fruit trees are you planting?
I didn't order them, so I don't know.
Okay. Kinds that will do well here. Okay.
Sweet fruit.
Yeah.
Will you have some signage by the trees so that people can see what those varieties are if they want to do this in their own garden?
Yeah, we will make sure that there's some sort of sign so that we can even keep track of what they are also.
That's helpful, yeah. But, the variety, what kind of apple and so on, so people have, becomes more educational.
Yeah.
So when you have the tree planting thing, people are going to come out and they need to bring with them...
Some paper milk cartons.
So they need to bring. Do they need to bring gloves and shovels?
We have all of that stuff there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have a pretty stocked little garden shed for all those things. But I mean, if folks want to, they are more than welcome. If they have their special shovel, if they want to bring it, they can.
Okay, shovels that fit your hands. Yeah, as we were talking before we went on air, my background is partly in farming in California, and I had a permaculture garden there with 35 different kinds of fruit and nut trees. I always had something right. Mm-hmm. So I've offered to show Meredith how to do the pruning on all of the different varieties. Yeah. But if you're going to come out, one of the things that we will need are milk cartons, and these are the paper waxed lined milk cartons. Half gallon is the size that we need. And what happens is that you rinse them out, open up the top and the bottom. Once the young tree is pruned, you just drop this milk carton over the top, and it protects the tree, the young trunk, from squirrels and voles and anything that might eat all of the bark. So it really helps. It's important that those milk cartons be white, not black, because if they're black, you can cook a tree. And I have personal experience about how to do that with 500 trees. Mm-hmm. Make sure they're white, but rinsed out. And so bring those with you
we'll try to save, round up a bunch else.
Yeah, round them up, bring them by. And that will be a really important kind of thing to have. So people who are finding themselves needing more exercise this summer could come out to help out at Marvin's Garden on what days?
Tuesdays are usually a really good day. We have Garden Club until noon, and then a lot of times different families will stick around and help out and do some maintenance in the garden. So Tuesdays afternoons are a really good time to come out and help out. But if you are interested, if you have some free time this summer and you're looking to help out at the school garden, then just get a hold of us and we'll make a time, we'll schedule a time with you and make sure that someone's there or line you out with some different tasks.
Okay. So they just need to call the Toksinek Watershed Council office, and the number on that again is
766-3542.
3542. Okay, so we need to wrap it up. And thank you once again. Thank you, Meredith, for coming in. And we'll look forward to seeing people out there at Starvin' Marvin and at the Salton Sea.
Yes.
Thank you so much. It's that time of year. Everything's blooming and getting it's, anxious.
It is
to pop.
Exciting. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you to the Garden Conversation people that come in here and volunteer their time to tell us how to do the gardening thing, how to do the growing thing here in the Upper Lynn Canal.